Good morning. It is so good to be with you this fine day. As we turn our hearts to God's Word and what He has in store, as we take our next step, as we seek to level up our own apprenticeship of Jesus. And today's going to kind of be the capstone, the bring it all together, if you will, for this series that we've been in for the last 7 weeks or so. In your bulletin, there is a couple of things that are really important. Number one is there is a message outline that you can follow along with, fill in the blank, take notes. And then on the back side, there are some reflection questions. And these are intended to be used within a context of a small group, a life group. If you're not involved with one, we'd love to get you connected to a life group. Or they're even just for your own individual study, kind of taking you a little bit a step further or two than what we can do on in our time together this morning. So some really good application questions, learning questions, so to help us get the most out of the message. Are you with me? Say, oh, yeah. And then also there's another insert. It's called Everyday Apprentice. And this is kind of a recapitulation, a recap of all that we've studied as it relates to being an everyday apprentice of Jesus. So on the one side, it has the four roles of an apprentice of Jesus, being a joyful apprentice, which is our upward role, as we individually, those who have placed their faith and trust in Christ, seek to joyfully apprentice Jesus, become more like Him in all that we say and do. The next role, the inward role, as it relates to each other within the body of Christ here at Faithbridge, we want to be what? Generous friends. It's here. Where you can lead a horse to water. Anyway, so we want to be generous friends. We want to be those who invest in our relationships together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the hands and feet of Jesus. And then the outward role, right, as it relates to those outside of the walls of the church, we want to be compassionate neighbors. We talked about that last week. And today, what we're going to look at is the multiplication, the forward role, as it relates to our evangelism, as it relates to actually investing Christ's life in the lives of others. As we are invested in, as we invest relationally, that we want to invest relationally with those and help people take their next steps in becoming like Christ. And our text for consideration this morning is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus is telling His disciples, He says, look, I'm about to go to heaven. I'm going to be with my Father preparing a place for the time that I return. And in the meantime, what I'm doing is I'm passing the baton of the kingdom of God to you, disciples. I'm passing over to you the responsibility of being my witnesses. And so Jesus says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And for those of us, in case you're curious what that means, that when we place our faith in Christ, when we say yes to God's invitation of salvation, we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit takes up residence and is dwelling within the believer. And so we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus, He's saying, when this was the first time the disciples received the Spirit, right? This is the big moment. He says, when you receive that Holy Spirit, you will be my what? You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Notice Jesus says, you will receive the Spirit and you might be my witnesses, or you could be my witnesses, or it's possible for you to witness on my behalf. No, He says, you will be. Church, you will be my witnesses. Whether you want to or not, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you are His witness. Amen? You are His witness. So that means, right now, if you are in Christ, you are a witness for Christ. It's really easy to be a witness for Christ in the church. Amen? But it's not so easy on Monday. It's not so easy on Tuesday or on Thursday or any other day. Because so often we forget that no matter where we are, we're the church. That we individually are members of the body of Christ and we're His witnesses wherever we go. So when you're having a bad day and you're grumpy, anybody relate to that this morning? When someone doesn't pay you your bill, when someone doesn't turn in their homework, when someone shortchanges you, when someone cuts you off, when someone doesn't meet your expectation, guess what? You are his witness. And the good and the bad. And so what does it mean? That's the whole purpose of this series is for us to wrestle and grasp what it means to be his witness, his apprentices in real time and real life with real people. This is something that's not like abstract. This is concrete, real life. What does it look like for me to live my life as a disciple of Jesus in real time? As a joyful apprentice, as a generous friend, as a compassionate neighbor. And today we're going to look at as a courageous investor. This is not something that we can opt in or out of. This is something that God has called each one of us to be for his glory and for the sake of the unity of the body of Christ, the bride. And so in this forward role, this multiplication role as apprentices of Jesus Christ, we want to increasingly multiply apprentices of Jesus as courageous investors. And that's both inside and outside of the church. We want to see people grow deeply in their apprenticeship of Jesus, to become like him, to think like him, to act like him, to model his behavior. And why courageous investors? Because I would venture to say that doing this is not natural for people. It doesn't come naturally to invest in others. What comes naturally is to take advantage of other people. What comes naturally is having my needs met first before seeking the needs of others. Amen? And what we need to do as members of the body of Christ is flip that script, and we need to take those initial steps, and we're going to look at that today. We chose the word courageous because the word courageous is to have or to be characterized by courage, or bravery. Courage is the mental or moral or spiritual strength to venture, to persevere, to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And I think this is so appropriate for us as believers in a country, in a culture that celebrates individualism and autonomy and avoids conflict pretty much at all costs. Anybody like to avoid conflict? Raise your hand. I like to avoid conflict. Because why? Conflict's hard. It's painful. It's yucky. It hurts feelings. But to be courageous is to be able to have that strength to know that, you know what? What we have as followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, as apprentices, we have the gospel, we have the good news. And that good news is for everybody, not just a select handful of people. And as a representative of the kingdom of God, of that gospel, I need to have that moral and mental and spiritual strength to persevere and endure the hardships that come. Because to be honest, being a Christian is not celebrated in our culture. Do you believe that? In fact, it's often ignored or neglected and downright persecuted. And so we need to have that courage. We need to also have the courage to invest in others. And an investor is someone who seeks to commit funds in a financial sense, but I would say not just financially. We need to have, we need to be one who seeks to commit our relational and spiritual equity for long-term profit with a minimum of risk. And we see this as an investment of our relational capital and equity in the lives of others, the truth of God's word, not just from a financial perspective. So what does that mean? A courageous investor is someone who equips and encourages others to grow in their walk with Jesus and multiply his way of life in others. That's what a courageous investor pursues. And as an apprentice, this should be one of my characteristics as a follower of Christ. Say, oh yeah, church. So, we're going to look at three qualities of a courageous investor. And the first one is this, that a courageous investor pursues relationship with others as people, not as projects. We see others as people, not as projects, not as something, an argument to win or someone to convince, but really we want to get to know people for the sake of them, not because they're a means to an end. Does that make sense? Too often in our discipleship culture, in our evangelistic culture, we look to win souls. We want to convince people of an argument. And as soon as we convince them, then we kind of move on and we forget about building actual relationship with people because they're people. Being a courageous investor, it's not about mentorship or coaching, that kind of a relationship, but rather we're to pursue others for the sake of the fact that they are image bearers of God. That even the most vile, foul, rebellious person that you can't stand is an image bearer of God. There is a fundamental value and worth into who they are because God created them in his image. They may not be reflecting his image, but God made them in his image and Christ died for them, just like he died for you and me. And so what do we owe those people? We owe them a debt of love. We owe them the opportunity to point them to Jesus, even if they're going to reject it. That's not up to us. That's up to the Holy Spirit and God to decide that. And so we don't want to just view people through that lens. Because really, everybody has a story to tell. Did you know that? You have a story. I have a story. What is that story? That story entails our family of origin, where we grew up, our parents, our siblings, our grandparents, our education, where we went to school, our experiences, what we liked to do, what we did as kids and as we got older, our personality, our likes, our dislikes, our testimony of faith, all of those things inform who we are. All those together combined inform who we are and how God created us. And everybody here has a story. Everybody here has a unique perspective on how God has called you and created you. And you know what? That is worth getting to know, amen? But how many of us like talking about our story without listening to someone else's story? I love talking about myself. How about you? You're like, yeah, we know you like talking about yourself. You do it every Sunday. Can you talk about somebody else? It's not polite to talk about other people. But we like to talk about ourselves. We like to share those things. But are we taking the time and making the effort, being intentional and hearing the stories of others, giving other people the time to share their story? Are we growing in our ability to listen? Are we intentional? And not viewing people as projects, but as relationship, as people. Why do we do that? Well, because people are the image bearers of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, we read that God created them, man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so what does this mean? This means that people, human beings, are a reflection of their creator. There are certain qualities and aspects that we have inherited from our creator that are part of who we are. Now, there are obviously some non-communicable attributes like you know, perfection. We didn't get that one. We didn't get all-powerful or all-knowing. Some of us think we know it all. We don't. We didn't get that from our creator. But we did get the capacity to love. The desire to create and to be creative, commitment, loyalty, those kinds of things are those communicable attributes that we've received from our creator. And again, going back to that earlier point, people are a reflection of their creator, whether they acknowledge it or not. And so for us who are in Christ, part of the joyful responsibility that we have as courageous investors is to get to know other people for how God has created them and to help them if they don't acknowledge Christ, if they don't acknowledge their creator, to point them to their creator. Are you with me, church? That's part of our joyful responsibility. And courage, as a courageous investor, it chooses love over gain. We don't look to get into relationship and get to know people so that we can take advantage of them. That's what the world does. That's what politicians do, right? They say what they think we want to hear. We put them in office, and then they do the exact opposite. Hello, New York City, right? We see this happening all over the place. But for God's people, that shouldn't be that way. Paul says it this way in Philippians. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And brothers and sisters, this has to start in the home. This has to start between husband and wife, mom and dad. Fathers and mothers and children. That are the basis of our relationship is not competition, it's not selfishness, it's not out of arrogance, but rather it's humility. It's a desire to serve the needs of others with no thought of my own needs. But how many of us, the first thing that we think of in a conversation is what we need, what we want? We're not very good at this, are we? But the amazing thing about this is, as we look to the interests of others, as we meet their needs, guess what? It's coming back our way. Because as we look to the needs of others, others are looking out for our interests. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God, of the body of Christ working together for his glory. Furthermore, we're called to speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul writes this, rather, speaking the truth in love, we, as the body of Christ, we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. What is God's will for us as his disciples, as his apprentices? To grow up into him who's the head, to look like Jesus, so that when the world sees us, they see Christ in us. And courageous relationship means honest conversations, real conversations, not manipulation, advantaging ourselves against someone else, not flattery, not puffing someone up, telling them what we think they want to hear so that we can get what we want from them. We're not salesmen. Nor does it require or call for silent resentment, where we judge and we resent and we think poorly of others because they maybe have something we don't, or they get to do something that we don't get to do, or maybe they're further in their walk with Christ than we are, and we just kind of resent them for that. Courageous relationship means that we have real conversation, because real conversation actually promotes growth and accountability and health. When we keep everything at the surface, how deep do you think our relationships are going to go? Surface, not deep. And is that really going to affect change and transformation in my life? Not really. I'll feel good about myself because you're going to agree with me, hopefully. But that's not what speaking the truth in love actually entails. So the second quality of a courageous investor is they view relationships as not as project, but as people. They're also intentional with their relational development. A courageous investor doesn't just haphazard in how they relate with people, but they're intentional in developing relationships. Because the goal in relationship is to develop a give and take kind of relationship, a reciprocal relationship where we learn together what it looks like to live like Jesus in real time. And again, it's not that coaching where I'm going to tell you and you're going to do, and now that's what the inequity of our relationship. No, this is give and take. As I'm growing in Christ, you're growing in Christ. As you're growing in Christ, you're growing in Christ. I'm growing in Christ. And so we need to be intentional in our pursuit of other people, in our pursuit of relationship, and not passively proximate to people. We all live next to somebody, and we think we're good neighbors because we don't bother our neighbor, right? That's just being passively proximate. Are we actually investing in those relationships? See, in Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We can be in relationship, we can be in many social circles, we can have lots of friends who don't say and speak the truth with us. Amen? We can have lots of friends on social media, but no one is going to challenge our presuppositions. In fact, more often than not, we actually enter into echo chambers that just reinforce our false ideas. But in the body of Christ, we need to be friends that stick closer to than a brother, that speak the truth to us, even when the truth hurts, even when the truth costs. Because relational depth requires intentionality. And we need to choose faithful presence and consistency over that surface level connection. And so as you look through the Rolodex for the young people, that was a thing that had names and addresses and phone numbers of people that were contacts in your life. And it was on a desk and you could spin it. It was really cool. Now you just have your contact list in your phone. Think about your contact list. Think about your friends. How many of those people do you have a depth of relationship with? How many of those people that you could actually go to and share your heart and they can share your heart and there's no fear? Versus how many people do you actually just have a surface level connection to? And part of that intentionality requires that we must initiate towards others. We have to take the first step. Philippians chapter 2 says, let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think one of the hardest things in our independent, autonomous culture that we live in, that we celebrate, is that we want to be known and we want to know other people, but we want other people to take that first step. How many of you guys relate to that? I would love to be friends with you, but you got to call me first. I wish we could hang out, but you never text. Anybody relate to that? Versus taking the risk and saying, you know what? I want to get to know this person. I want to hang out with them. I want to go deeper, but it means I got to initiate. Well, they must not care about me. You see, we got to look not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others. An intentional relationship means actively learning others' burdens, their hopes, their growth edges, risking it, being vulnerable, being honest, and saying, look, you know what? We're just a couple of dudes. We don't like to talk. We're either fine or we're hungry, one of the two. There's a third option that I can't say because of church, but there's not much else. And we need to be intentional of going deeper than that surface level. Are you with me, church? Ladies have no problems with this. It's us guys. Let's just be real. And we suffer for it. And in fact, as men, we suffer, our families suffer, our children suffer, our wives suffer because of lack of connection and intentionality as men. Encouragement needs to happen daily. Hebrews chapter 3 says, but exhort one another. What's it say? It's on the screen. There's no surprises here. Every day. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If you and your best friend, you only connect once every 6 months, I would say that that's not a very good friendship. Real friends, real encouragement happens daily. Why? Because life is hard. Life comes at us a million miles an hour. There are so many options and opportunities for distraction minute by minute for us to run our lives into the ditch, that we need each other. We need to exhort. We need to encourage each other every day, checking in. How's it going? What are you doing? Where's God leading you? What's God teaching you? All of these things. Because relational courage, it speaks up regularly. It speaks up consistently. And it doesn't wait for the crisis to come for us to show up. Because when the crisis comes, when the car's in the ditch, it's too late. Now we're picking up pieces and we're fixing broken bodies versus having done all that work ahead of time to avoid that collision altogether. But there are times when we do end up in the ditch and we need to carry each other's burdens, not just give advice, not just stand on the side of the road and say, well, if you had just called me, this would have not happened, right? Well, can you believe that? We're called to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Paul says to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2. We need to share the weight of life together, not detach ourselves from the troubles of others. And guess what? This is hard. This is messy. This is risky. But let me tell you, when we share that burden of life, the load gets lighter and easier because we have one another to support and encourage and bring before the Father. And in doing that, we need to give of ourselves, not just our words. To the Thessalonians, Paul writes this, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel, the good news of God, but also of our own selves. We want to do life with you. So who are we doing life with outside of our spouse and our kids? Who are we rubbing shoulders with daily? Because intentional relational development requires vulnerability and shared life, not just information. But so often we think it's easier just to give a word or some information and go read a book. You know, don't talk to me, go read a book and that'll fix your problems and then come and we'll talk about it later. No, I need someone in my life right now holding me accountable. I don't need a book. I don't need information. I need flesh and blood. Because generally we know what to do or not to do, generally speaking. The information is not the thing, it's the people. We need people. And as we do that, we stir up growth on purpose. As we are intentional with our relationship development, as we intentionally pursue relationship with others, we stir up growth. We cause discomfort on purpose. Not just to stir the pot. A lot of pot stirrers in here, right? I'm looking out and I see a handful of you. You're smiling back at me, so you know who you are. No, this is about stirring up the growth. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us consider how to stir up one another, how to challenge one another, how to poke each other, not to annoy each other, but to what? To love and good works. Remember Ephesians, that God has created us for good works, that he's prepared in advance for us to do. Part of our job as brothers and sisters in Christ is to encourage each other to do those works, encouraging one another. And so considering how it implies thoughtfulness and strategy, thinking outside of ourselves, not looking just at our own interests, but at the interests of others. And relational courage, it plans for others' spiritual formation and growth. And it holds us to that accountability. How are you growing in Christ? I know you have I know you have struggles with this issue, whatever that issue is, finances, greed, workaholism, lust, drink, whatever it is. How are you growing in that? How are you defeating and being healed from that in Christ? Well, who are you to ask me that? I'm your brother in Christ. It is my privilege and my burden to carry this with you so that you don't end up in that ditch. Do you see where this is going, church? How this all works together? And thirdly, a courageous investor grows as an apprentice of Jesus alongside of others. Not ahead of them, not behind them, but with other people. Because again, every one of us has a next step. Church, I want you to say it out loud. I have a next step. No matter how long you follow Jesus, you have a next step in Christ. I have a next step in Christ. And so we all need to be growing alongside of one another. Now, we might grow at different rates. We might grow to different degrees, but we each have a next step. And part of that is because apprenticeship of Jesus, discipleship, is a shared calling. Jesus, when he was calling his disciples in Matthew 4:19, he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Notice that Jesus was inviting the disciples into community. He calls us into relationship with himself and into community. And so relational formation happens and shared following of Christ. You know, I was thinking about this earlier in the first hour, that Judas is often, Judas Iscariot is often, you know, and rightly thought of as the one who betrayed Jesus, because he did. But have you ever thought of the fact that Judas didn't just betray Jesus, that he also betrayed the other 11 disciples? That Judas sold out his brothers? And just the weight of that, the hurt that must have caused Peter and James and John and Bartholomew, you know, as they totally scattered because of the choice that Judas made. In the same way, that's that sharing that calling, we share the weight of other people. So if you are a person who is drowning in your sin, the church, the body, is going to feel that. Does that make sense? In the same way, if you're celebrating victory in Christ, guess what? The church is going to feel that as well. So do not for a second think that you are to live your life in isolation and apart from the rest of us. If you're struggling, we want to know about it because we feel it. We may not know what you're struggling with, but we feel it. Help us love you as we follow Christ together, because growth happens together. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." You see, this is that mutual reciprocity in the body of Christ. As you are growing and learning in Christ, you are called to teach others and encourage others with what God is teaching you. And in the same way as I'm learning and growing in Christ, I'm called to encourage and to admonish you in wisdom. But there's mutuality, because apprenticeship is mutual as everyone teaches and receives. Everyone admonishes and is admonished. And so if you're in Christ, where is your outlet for teaching and encouraging others in Christ? What does that look like? Courageous honesty, it fuels growth. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another, that you may be what? Healed. What this verse does not mean is that we confess our sins to each other for absolution. We don't forgive each other of our sins. That's not the point. The point is that as we confess our sins, when we acknowledge our sinfulness, our struggles, our depravity, our flesh, what we wrestle with, it gives the other members of the body of Christ the opportunity to pray for each other, to pray for you, to lift you up, to hold you accountable, so that what? You can be healed. We don't confess sin to one another to feel sorry for ourselves. We confess sin so that we might be healed. We might be forgiven and freed from that burden, that persistent sin that is in our lives. Some of you have persistent sin in your life that you cannot shake because you've never confessed that sin to someone else. And you've never received the prayer and the encouragement and the accountability that comes with that. Because maybe we're afraid that we'll be judged or thought of less than what we are. And that's why we need to be honest. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior. The truth sets us free. So a relational investor models vulnerability, not spiritual superiority. We grow into maturity together. Again, going back to the Ephesians passage, speaking the truth in love in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We're to grow up into every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Because when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Why is there dysfunction in the body of Christ? Why is there dysfunction in your family, in my family, in our family? Because maybe not every part of us is working properly, because we've not confessed our sin. We've not been accountable. We've kept things at the surface. But if we could actually trust the Lord and his word and scripture and apply this to our lives and actually do the things that scripture tells us to do, we just might see growth in the body of Christ. We just might see this body of Christ grow in love. And wouldn't that be amazing? Because spiritual maturity is corporate, and each part grows as the whole grows together. So let's share in imitating Christ. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul's not saying, look at how wonderful my life is. I'm amazing. No, he's saying, look at Jesus in me. Look at what Christ has done with my life and transformed it from once a persecutor, once a destroyer of the church, once one who was zealous above all things for my Jewish roots, but have now committed myself to spreading the gospel even to the Gentile. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Apprenticeship includes modeling, but always as a fellow follower, not the standard itself. We don't need to call each other to follow me because I'm amazing. We say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. See Christ in me so that I can see Christ in you. And our perseverance is strengthened in our community. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews says, looking to Jesus. Yes, our race of faith is personal, it's individual, but it is run in a great cloud of witnesses. Courage grows in shared endurance. Think about the Olympics that are closing out today and the team events that require the support of each member of the team so that the whole can succeed. And the same is true in our faith journey as we follow Christ. Shared life leads to shared mission. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And so that is what our apprenticeships should entail. Devotion to teaching, fellowship, worship, and prayer, but together and not separate. Because ultimately, this leads to a courageous investor who intentionally pursues depth of relationship with people over the breadth of relationship, having lots of friends, lots of followers. A courageous investor initiates towards others' interests, speaks the truth in love, and consistently encourages growth in Christ. Scripture calls us as believers to bear each other's burdens, to sharpen one another, to share our very lives, and not merely occasionally giving advice, as we like to do, because that's safe. I'd rather give you some advice than to actually get into your life and the mess that it is. Because if I get into your mess, guess what? You're coming into my mess. And we just don't want to do that. I'll just pray for you. Because it's easier. But to be a courageous investor, it takes true relational courage. And it plans for the spiritual maturity of others. It engages honesty and remains faithfully present over time. And that relational investment is not accidental, nor is it incidental friendship. It is deliberate, Christ-centered development of people for God's glory. And that is what Christ has called each and every one of us to pursue. So being a courageous investor is part of being an apprentice of Jesus. It's something that each one of us should be doing. So the question is, who are you courageously investing in? Who are you courageously investing in? And if you're not investing in someone, who could you courageously invest in? Because it's likely someone you already know. It's likely someone that's already in your sphere of influence and relationship. And so this week, I would encourage you to be bold and ask someone to coffee. You know, I go to Bella every Thursday to do study and sermon preparation, and I've been doing that for, oh my goodness, almost 6 years now. It's crazy. And that the barista has changed. It used to be my daughter. She was easy to get to know. But there's a new barista, and I, for almost 18 months, I still don't know her name. Now it's kind of awkward if I were to say, what's your name? But something like that. What would it look like to ask your barista for coffee? To say, hey, you got 5 minutes? I'd love to hear your story. How can I pray for you? That would take some courage, wouldn't it? Or the checkout person, unless you self-check out, then you need to get to know yourself. That's another issue. Maybe invite someone over for dinner this week. hey, I just ran into this person. You know, I run into this person everywhere. You know what? I invited them over for dinner. Are you okay with that, honey? Well, it's too late because I already did it. What does that look like? Get creative. Ask the Lord for guidance. Invest the time and the effort to invite people into your relationship with Jesus. What do you have to lose? I know what you could gain. As the kingdom of God is furthered and expanded. Because as courageous investors, a courageous investor is one who equips and encourages others to grow in their walk with Jesus and to multiply his way of life in others. And Lord, wouldn't it be amazing to see Christ's life multiplied in more people in our community for his glory? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this call, this challenge, Lord. Not just the challenge of today, but all this entire series of being an everyday apprentice. Lord, everyday apprentices who look to fill out these roles of upward, of being a joyful apprentice, one who celebrates their life in Christ, as we look to how do we invest inwardly in being generous friends amongst the body of Christ? How do we look outwardly to be compassionate neighbors to the world around us? And how do we take some of those relationships, maybe even just one of those relationships, and take it deeper as a courageous investor? Lord, that your way of life, Jesus, your calling is multiplied and is invested deeply in our lives. And Lord, there's so many opportunities, so much opportunity for us as everyday apprentices to live out this calling, to fulfill your dream for us, Lord, as we seek to be your witnesses, because Lord, we are your witnesses. And so equip us, train us, teach us how to be better witnesses for Christ in the community where we find ourselves, whether it's Park Rapids or Osage or Akeley or Nevis or Monaga or Wadena or wherever we may live and live our lives. Lord, there are people that we see regularly that need what we have for them, that we need to invest in courageously. Not as projects or as souls to be won, but as people to be loved and people to be honored and encouraged and intentionally poured into, so that they might come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Just as someone has invested in our lives, Lord, may we be that kind of investor in the lives of others, so that you would receive all of the glory and all of the honor. And we say, Lord, come quickly. But until then, may we be faithful to you, taking our next step and following you, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together as we sing.